this morning's gospel reading, we hear that Jesus openly talked about how he would be tortured, killed, and resurrected. Needless to say, this was not what the disciples wanted him to say. They were looking to Jesus to overthrow the Roman Empire, to release them from their suffering and oppression. And this is their friend, whom they love. They don't want to think about him dying. Peter is caught in his own human fear and suggests that perhaps Jesus shouldn't say these kinds of things, at least not publicly. It is so easy to just close our eyes and try to avoid truths that we don't want to face. Jesus responds harshly to Peter, "Get out of my way, Tempest." If we are to live abundant, remarkable lives, we must begin to chip away at the entrapments that keep us from facing realities of injustice. We must demand that they get out of our way. Remove those obstacles that keep us from recognizing and leveraging our privilege to set our hearts on living in a way that follows Jesus. If you want to become my followers, let you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. When Jesus says, deny yourself, he is not saying that we must suffer for the sake of suffering. Though moving out of our comfort zone and making ourselves vulnerable is often a painful process. Like Peter, we don't want to face the realities because there is too much on the line. It is simply too risky. But in Christ, we are released from oppression and relieved of our suffering, even if we continue to be in the same physical situation. It is our response to the suffering and our relationship with God that changes through our discipleship and can perhaps then begin to change the situation around us. So what does Jesus mean then when he says to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and to follow him? On Thursday, I came across a New York Times commentary on the 75th anniversary of the death of Sophie Scholl, somebody who I really wasn't that familiar with. I was so inspired by the courage and the sense of selfless righteousness expressed by her and her brother Hans, and their circle of friends who were equally brave and conscientious, who took up their cross to follow Jesus. Raised in Germany by a pacifist father and a religious Lutheran mother, Sophie and Hans joined their friends in the Hitler Youth, even though it was against their parents' wishes. But it didn't sit right with them. They didn't stay part of that movement for very long, because even before the worst horrors of the Nazis happened, Hans and Sophie were alarmed about restrictions of songs and books. And then they began to hear stories of disabled children being picked up from institutions who were told they were being brought to heaven. Neighbors, shopkeepers, teachers were suddenly not around anymore. A beloved Jewish professor didn't show up for class one day. But when questions were raised, authorities declared it fake news. What is happening is not what you think is happening, they said. After all, aren't you much better off now than you were before Hitler came into power? Hans and his friends, including his sister Sophie, began to write down the injustices that they were seeing. Calling themselves the White Rose and compelled by their faith, the leaflets they produced included words of scripture and denounced the actions of their government. They called for citizens to wake up and to see what their country was doing and to speak out against it. Aware that most churches weren't condemning what the Nazis were doing, Hans wrote, "It's high time that Christians made up their minds to do something. What are we going to show in the way of resistance when all this terror is over? We will be standing empty-handed. We will have no answer when we are asked, 'What did you do about it?'" The small group of young students managed to distribute messages to thousands of people all around Germany from June 1942 to February 1943. Until on February 18th, 1943, Sophie and Hans and their friend Christoph were arrested. Sophie was 21 years old. She courageously told the court that she did not regret what she had done and she would do it again. On February 22nd, just days later, she, Hans, and Christoph were found guilty of high treason and hours later were killed by guillotine. Her cellmate reported that Sophie Scholl said on her last day, "How can we expect righteousness to prevail when there is hardly anyone willing to give himself up individually to a righteous cause? Such a fine, sunny day, and I have to go. But what does my death matter if through us thousands of people are awakened and stirred into action?" A few months after her death, a copy of the White Rose pamphlet made its way to Allied forces, and hundreds of thousands were dropped from planes over Germany as a call to action. These young people didn't set out to be killed. In fact, I'm pretty sure that that was not what they wanted at all. But their love for God and for humanity was greater than their fear of death. And while their sacrifice is a powerful example of Christian discipleship, martyrdom is only one manifestation of what could happen when we transform our lives through Jesus and when our love of God and for humanity becomes greater than our fear of death. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer defined cheap grace as the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ. If you want to become my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. When we become desensitized to the violence around us, we lose sight of the relevance of what Jesus taught. These are not easy lessons. In our awakening, however, picking up the cross and following Jesus, taking that step in faith, we are committing a non-violent act of resistance, a turning away from injustice and a move toward beloved community. Jesus offers us a new way of living that requires us to be all in. All in. This is counterintuitive. We want to hold on to certain parts of our life. It feels risky and scary until you experience it and your awareness is lifted and everything seems to fall into place, even though what is around you hasn't necessarily changed at all. That, my friends, is God's amazing grace. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Last week, we heard of numerous heroic acts of adults and youth who put their bodies on the line to protect students in the Florida high school shooting. Their love for humanity was greater than their fear of death. And many young survivors are standing up and asking us to find a way to reduce gun violence. Just as many of our young African American sisters and brothers have been asking us through Black Lives Matter movement. I know that we have a difference of opinions about the politics and the strategies for reducing violence in our communities. But I am confident that every one of us here cares deeply that this evil must stop taking the lives of God's beloved children of all ages, nations, and races. In the words of Hans Scholl, what will we answer when we are asked, "What did you do about it?"